Nobody goes out and just picks a woman or a man and says, I'm going to marry you. No, there is a process to it. You meet someone, you talk to them a little bit, you share a little bit about yourself. And then you think, well, I'd like to meet this person again. So you arrange another meeting. And as you talk, you share a little bit more about yourself. Then you get to that place where you think, I think I'd like to go steady with this person. So you begin to spend more time with them. And during that time, you share a little bit more. Until you come to that place where you become husband and wife. The relationship is consummated. And you live together forever. This is what the plan of God has been from all eternity. Have you ever asked yourself, why is there something and not nothing? Why are we here? Why do we exist? Well, we exist because it has been God's good pleasure to create us in order to live with Him. What is the chief end of man? Chief end of man is to glorify God and what else? Enjoy Him forever. It is at this time of the year that we would sing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. We sing this, but what does it really mean? We miss a lot of the Christmas story because we do not understand what the Bible is actually saying. We miss a lot of the Christmas story because we do not understand God's plan from the very beginning. The nation of Israel, which was the forerunner of the Christian church today, was anticipating the fulfillment of the promises of God. The promises of God to dwell with His people forever. As we anticipate the return of Christ, ancient Israel was anticipating the appearance, the first coming of Christ. But many fail to understand what the Messiah concept was truly all about. It was about God becoming man and living with His people. This is the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. This has been the purpose of God from all eternity. And we see this theme. If we look at it carefully, we can see this theme all the way from the garden to the return of Christ. The biblical history, the biblical story begins with God making for Himself a man and a woman to live with God in paradise. And there in that garden, God reveals to Adam and Eve that He is prophet, priest, and king. He is king because He has created all things and He has created Adam and Eve. Without sin in their lives, they understood themselves to be creatures created for God to enjoy Him and to bring glory to Him. So Adam and Eve understood that God was king. They also understood that God was to be their prophet because God instructs them. You can have the whole garden, but stay away from this tree. The day that you eat of that fruit will be the day that you surely die. So God has revealed to them that He is King. He has revealed to them that He is a prophet. And then once sin enters the world, God reveals to Adam and Eve that He is their priest. Because He covers them and supplies a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. But then we move from Adam and Eve to more biblical history. And what we see is that sin arises to a great point in the world. So God destroys it through the flood. And then the next thing we find, according to biblical history, according to the way it's laid out here, is that God promises Abraham that Abraham is going to live with God and God's going to live with Abraham. Genesis chapter 17, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and for you to be my people. What God is revealing to us is that not only is He prophet, priest, and king, but He's also going to be a father to us. Because He talks to Abraham about Abraham's descendants, Jew and Gentile. The very purpose of the covenant with Abraham is for God to make a people for Himself and to live with them. This Emmanuel concept. And then we move on a little bit more in church history. And we come to the time of Moses. Under Moses, the same covenant that was established with Adam and Eve and with Noah and with Abraham, the same covenant is reaffirmed. And the same promises are given to Moses and the Israelites. Exodus chapter 6. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. This is what God said was the reason for Him bringing the people out of Egypt. The pillar of fire by night is what's called a theophany. It is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ claims to be that fire when He tells the masses that He is the light of the world. See, the Pharisees understood what Jesus was saying. That's why they wanted to kill Him, because they thought He was blaspheming, because He, a mere man, was claiming to be God. He's claiming to be the one who was in the pillar of fire. So the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day represented Emmanuel, that God was in the presence of the people. And then at Mount Sinai, God gives the Ten Commandments and reaffirms this same covenant again. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, He says, "You will be my special treasure of all the people." Leviticus chapter 11, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God and for you to be my people." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. "The Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace from Egypt to be a people for His own possession." You see, the covenant that God established with Abraham and then the covenant that God established with Moses, they are not separate covenants. They are extensions of the same covenant, as you would take a telescope and expand it a little bit so that you can see. I can see clearly here, but if I expand the telescope, I can see a little bit further. The covenants are expansions of one another. They don't contradict one another. They're not separate covenants. It's the same covenant, just now being more fully revealed. and here in the Mosaic covenant, not only is God saying that he will be a father, but he's going to be a priest. He's going to be a priest to the people. Thus, the establishing of the Levitical priesthood. And he's going to be a prophet to them by giving them the law. So, through the covenants with Abraham and through the covenants with Moses, we find this Emmanuel concept that God is preparing a people to live with him and he with them. So now we move on a little bit more in redemptive history. And we come to the time of the kings of Israel. And we are told in 2 Samuel that your house and your kingdom will endure before me forever. And I will raise up your offspring and establish my kingdom in him. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. And so now what we see is that not only has God revealed himself as prophet and priest, and that he's going to be a father to his people, but now he is showing them more clearly that he is their king. And this will be established through King David and King Solomon. And then we move to the prophets. And all of this time, we have this reoccurrence of the Emmanuel thing. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. I'm going to live with you. You're going to live with me. And what we find in Ezekiel chapter 37 is this. God says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them. See? Multiply them. That's the father concept. And I will set my sanctuary in their midst. That's the priest and the prophet concept. And my dwelling place will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary, when my dwelling is in their midst forever. The building of the temple in Jerusalem signified God living with his people. And so what we find then, even beginning in Genesis, the theme of all these different covenants, covenant with Adam, covenant with Noah, covenant with Abraham, covenant with Moses, covenant with David and the kings of Israel, they're all connected, not separate, but one covenant that God is revealing a little bit more each time. Just as when you first go out on a date, you reveal a little bit, but then the next date, you share a little bit more. And as the dates continue, you keep sharing a little bit more about yourself and learning more about your boyfriend or your girlfriend. So all through redemptive history, that's what God has been doing. Same thing, same covenant, but in each different time period, God reveals a little bit more about what he's up to. Until we come to the birth of Jesus. And so what do we find being said here? That Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That which God had purposed from all eternity. That which God had done in the garden. is now taking upon flesh and blood in this little child. It will not be the blood of the covenant that he is going to administer as the priests did. No, he himself will be the blood of the covenant. And then at the end of time, the end of time as we know it, what is it that the Apostle John sees? And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now is the dwelling of God with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That which God intended in the garden, it's going to come to pass when Jesus returns. That which God purposed for you, even there in the garden, will be fulfilled when Christ returns. You are the people of God, and he will not live without you, and you will not live without him. Oh, what a wonder this is. What a wonder that the three times holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, should be so pleased as to create you so that you could enjoy him. And that is why the angels sing. That is why the saints of the Old Testament sing. That is why the shepherds sing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom God's favor rests. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Emmanuel. We thank you for your love to us in Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that it has so pleased you to live with us. Though we are sinful and corrupt, yet it pleased you to redeem us in order that we may live with you and enjoy you. Oh, Father God, help us to see your story. Help us to see your plan, even from the beginning of time to the end of time, that we may rejoice in you, Emmanuel, God with us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close.